Welcome to Travel It's Radio, the show that lets you scratch your lust for travel from the friendly confines of your home. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg, and this is the 279th episode of Travel It's Radio. Every week at 8 Eastern, we interview hoteliers, transportation executives, city, state, and national tourism officials, authors, writers, broadcasters, and others involved in the world of travel. And our special guest tonight is my longtime friend, Al Clark, who spent 26 years traveling the country as a Major League Baseball umpire. Tonight he talks about his travels, and he also talks about his travels in a great new book called Out But Safe, A Baseball Umpire's Journey, now out in paperback for the first time. Welcome, Al, to Travel It's Radio.
Danny, it's always a pleasure to be with you. Thank you, man.
Thank you. And Al, before we talk about anything else, I know you have a special event coming up next month in New Jersey, so why don't you tell our listeners what that is?
Yes, Danny, as you know, I've been very fortunate, been an eyewitness to a lot of really rather iconic moments in baseball history over the last 25 years that I worked in the big leagues. Things such as Cal Ripken's breaking Lou Gehrig's record, the Earthquake World Series, Bucky Dent's iconic home run in Boston, Randy Johnson's first no-hitter in Seattle, Nolan Ryan's 300th win in Milwaukee's County Stadium, old, beautiful, wonderful County Stadium, and Dave Rigetti's no-hitter at Yankee Stadium. Well, in New Jersey, there is a well-known and very, very good artist by the name of James Fiorentino. I was with him at a charity event last summer, and we started talking, and he came up with the idea of doing an item for collectors of those iconic things that happened during the 25 years that I was in the big leagues. And the tie-in is, of course, I saw all of them. And the idea was that he was going to put together a collage of these events. I would sign them, date the events and where I was on the field, and then the collector would probably buy the piece and then have the participants sign the piece, and all of a sudden it becomes a wonderful classic collector's item. And that's what we're doing. We are going to be in West Lebanon, New Jersey at the RC Collectors store, and it's going to be great. It's going to be early in Saturday, May 4th, I believe, and May 5th.
Right.
And we're going to have a good time. I'm going to not only sign some stuff, but also talk about, in a two-hour talk, what it was like to be on the field for each of these events from an ump's eye view. And, boy, we're going to have a lot of fun doing it.
That's great. And for listeners who don't know, Al is a New Jersey native, grew up in the Trenton area, now lives in Williamsburg, Virginia, so he can play more golf. Right, Al?
Oh, beautiful Colonial Williamsburg. I live in a facility that has 54 holes of golf, and I'm out there whenever the weather permits.
Which has been a little dicey this winter, I believe.
Yes, it has been, unfortunately.
But anyway, let's talk travel, Al. You not only had to travel extensively for your job, but unlike players, you had to make your own travel arrangements. So please share, was travel fun, difficult, or a bit of both?
Well, Danny, as you know, when you're young and you're kind of full of piss and vinegar, you love the travel. We were traveling first class all over the country and for me, in some regards, all over the world. And it was a tremendous amount of fun. Getting to know the different people in the marketing offices of the airlines, actually even the line people in the different airports around the country. Travel people, as I'm sure you know and a lot of your listeners know, are absolutely wonderful people. And they became friends of mine. And it became fun to see them, you know, whenever the schedule permitted that I was in that particular city or state. Unlike players, we did have to make all our own reservations. Umpires travel as a crew from city to city. There are four of us. And we travel not necessarily together from city to city, but we have to be in that particular city together. And the reason we don't travel or didn't travel together is simply because some guys like to travel early in the morning. Some guys like to travel later in the morning or early in the afternoon. And you know, you just, we're big boys, and we had an obligation to be where we had to be. We all knew it, and we adhered to it.
Well, you had more than your share of travel adventures, seeing a tornado in Oklahoma City, flying over Mount St. Helens eruptions twice, and experiencing the San Francisco earthquake that stopped the 1989 World Series for 10 days. Let's talk about that tornado first, since it happened when you were in the minors. What exactly happened?
I was in Oklahoma City, and Ted Hendry, who later became an American League umpire also, was my partner in the American Association. And we were having lunch at a little strip shopping center in Oklahoma in the springtime when it's, you know, tornadoes are very prevalent. All of a sudden we're eating lunch and we hear these sirens go off. And we looked at each other and didn't know what was going on. We called the waitress over and she, you know, asked her, you know, what is it? It's a bigger siren than a police car or a fire engine. And she said, she looked at us like we had, you know, like three heads. And she said, what are you guys talking about? We're in the path of a tornado. So Ted and I looked at each other and we got up from our table and went outside to look at it. And everybody was running inside. It was quite an experience. I mean, the tornado is a couple of miles away, but we certainly saw the funnel, and it was, you know, waving just like you see in The Wizard of Oz, and waving from left to right and up and down, and it was getting louder and louder in a locomotive, and all of a sudden we realized, you know, this is probably not a good idea. So we went back inside and took cover also.
And what was the deal with Mount St. Helens? What do you remember about that?
Well, Danny, I flew over Mount St. Helens twice as it was erupting. My crew was going from Minneapolis to Seattle, and we flew way right north of the Mount St. Helens as it was erupting. The smoke and the soot was coming up, and it was at the time moving. The wind was blowing east southeast. And we saw it. We were, oh, my goodness gracious, we were higher than the plume. We looked down on the plume as it was erupting and, you know, moving down, you know, down and away from us as we surrounded it. It was impressive. And, you know, it just, you know, like the earthquake a little bit later on, a couple of years later, it makes you realize that you just don't screw around with Mother Nature, because she's going to get you, and she's going to win. The second time I saw it was we were in Seattle for 3 days. We were taking off, and I was going down to Anaheim in Southern California. The mountain was erupting and talking to us again. This time the wind was taking it due east. We took off, and we went due west. But by the time we got up high enough to see it, once again, we were above the plume, and it was the same kind of experience. It was the same kind of shooting of lava out of the top of the mountains, or what was left of the top of the mountain after the first time it had blown. It was quite an experience, quite a sight. We didn't have any cell phones at the time. Otherwise, I'm sure we would have taken a couple of pictures of it. I tell you what I did do. I did collect, and I still have it to this day, some soot that was on the streets of Seattle as it accumulated over the next couple of days as the winds swirled and brought a lot of the plume back into town. And boy, that is a very fine, silty, gray dust, if you will. And I've got that here in my house somewhere.
Talking about memorable experiences, that earthquake, weren't you the last person on the field at Candlestick Park?
I was the last person that was supposed to be on the field at Candlestick Park that night. It happened at 5:04 on October 17th. The ballgame was supposed to start at 5:37 West Coast time, of course, prime time on the East Coast. And I was staying in Oakland. All my partners and everybody else had moved from Oakland. It was game three of the 1989 World Series. And everybody had moved back. I had a friend of mine was the general manager of the Hyatt in Oakland. So I just stayed there. And, you know, it's an easy commute back and forth. So I was enjoying myself in Oakland, and the earthquake happened. Of course, the San Mateo Bridge was closed to be checked by the Army Corps of Engineers. A section of the Bay Bridge had gone down. The Golden Gate Bridge was closed, and there was no way to get back. So I said, well, I'll just stay here at the ballpark. There's no sense going into San Francisco because there was no power. The Mission District was on fire. I just stayed at the ballpark. I had the umpire's dressing room, which was quite comfortable in San Francisco in Candlestick Park. And I walked around the ballpark to see the damage, which miraculously there was not very much. But as I was walking around, it was about 11:30 West Coast time, and I saw that ESPN was still telecasting. And I wondered how that could happen with no power. Turns out they had their own generators, and they were still telecasting. And I knew one of the directors, and I said, hey, listen, I'm the only guy that's here that should have been on the field. Tell you what, I'll go on one of your segments if you allow me to use one of your satellite phones to call my wife on the East Coast and just to let her know I was okay. And they said, don't move. And I went on a segment for half an hour describing what it was like, you know, on the field and in the dressing room as the earthquake shook, you know, the whole Bay Area. And it was probably the best trade I ever made.
We're talking with umpire turned author Al Clark. Al, since umpires make their own travel arrangements, did you try to stay in the same hotels in each city, and was it because of your personal friendships?
Yeah, Dan, that's a great question, and the answer is twofold. We became friends with, you know, general managers and sales managers at particular hotels all over the country, and with the invent of hotel points, airline points, and awards, it behooved us, as much as we're on the road 180 days a year. I became friends with Hyatt people, literally, and Marriott people, and accumulated many, many points, made many, many friends. As a matter of fact, people ask me all the time, you know, what do I miss most about not being on the road and umpiring? And the answer is very, very easy. The thing I miss most, of course, is actually umpiring. Dan, I loved walking out on that big league field every day and actually umpiring. I miss the friends that I made all around the country, and those friends included automobile rental people, hotel people, and airline people. And one of the best parts about my job was the fact that I could make friends around the country. As you probably know, I'm a kind of gregarious guy, and I have no trouble saying hello to anybody. And that was a big deal. So yes, I enjoyed staying in particular hotels. I enjoyed meeting, you know, travel type people, travel industry people, and it was a great existence. It was a wonderful existence.
And you found something special in hotel room Bibles, didn't you?
I learned a long time ago, staying, you know, living in hotels, the first thing you do when you go into a hotel room is go to the side of the bed, to one of the bedstands, open the drawer, and take out the couple of Bibles that are there. Not necessarily to read them, but if you leaf through the pages, oddly enough, people hide money in Bibles to just protect their money when they leave the room. And then when they leave the hotel, they forget to take it out. This is people just don't believe it. I've told people about it, and they have found some cash too. Over the 26 years that I was in the big leagues, I have literally found thousands of dollars in hotel Bibles. Another thing to do, yeah, it really is, and I wrote about that in my book also, in our book. The other thing that I found out, and this is very, very accurate in every hotel, always sleep on the side that the phone next to the bed is not on, because everyone sleeps on the side of the bed where the phone is, and that part of the mattress on the bed becomes less firm than the other side.
That's a great tip. I love that.
Yes, indeed.
By the way, Al, a lot of Americans, including me, say San Francisco is their favorite city, but you were primarily an American League umpire before the staffs merged, so you might have other favorites. Please share.
Oh, I think, you know, most every city is a great city. I would not sit here and tell you that there's a bad big league city, Dan, or even a bad minor league city. Even Detroit, you know, with all the problems they have, or Chicago, which is a great, great city with all the problems they have. A city, any city, is what you're going to make it yourself. I used to get up, and the people in the cities are magnificent folks. I used to get up in the morning when I was a young umpire, Dan, and get on a city bus and literally ride it to the end of the line and ride it back into town and meet and greet, say hello to people, working people in the cities. And you found out the flavor of the cities. You found out the great places to go, the local places to go. And all the while, you made a ton of great friends. And I'd leave them tickets perhaps at the ball game that night or the next night, and they'd bring their family out. And then I'd the next time back in town, I'd stay in touch with some of these folks. I'd be invited for a nice home-cooked meal. And all one has to do to make friends and to be accepted anywhere is to do three things. Smile, look someone in the eye, and say hello. Because when you travel, you find out that people are just people. And there are so many more good people than bad people anywhere and everywhere.
Al, your travels have taken you overseas to the Venezuelan Winter League for baseball and Dominican for golf, among other things. But is it true that in Venezuela, when the fans yell, kill the umpire, they really mean it?
Oh, my goodness gracious, yes, Dan. You learn how to handle and you learn how to handle situations on the field when you get to a Latin country, a Latin American country. The word fan is a derivative from the Spanish fanatico. And when you get 35,000 fanaticos together rooting for one team and you make a call against that particular team, when they yell, kill the umpire, they actually mean it. We have protection in those cities in that kind of thing from literally militia and guards. A little bit different in Venezuela now. As a matter of fact, no Americans go down to Venezuela at all anymore because of the political climate down there. But my goodness gracious, I had an absolute ball living there. Made some friends down there, umpires and local people. It was great. And like you say, my travels, baseball has literally taken me all over the world. Just last spring, I did a clinic for the Department of Defense and the Special Services Umpires, along with the Japanese American Umpires Association at Naval Base Nakasuma outside Tokyo. And we had a ball. I was over there for a week, and it was just wonderful. And, you know, like I say, baseball's taken me to Europe, to the Orient, North America, South America. I'm a very fortunate and blessed individual for sure.
And we're talking with umpire and author Al Clark. Al, we've hosted baseball theme cruises together and also worked together for Jay Smith's Sports Travel and Tours during Hall of Fame induction weekend in Cooperstown every July. How much of your travel today is baseball related?
Oh, I do a lot of after dinner speaking and motivational speaking all over the country. A lot of it is with Jay and Sports Travel and Tours. A big part is the Hall of Fame weekend. As you know, Danny, the people that go on the Sports Travel and Tours trips are huge baseball fans, and the common denominator is just that, they all being huge baseball fans. And I get to talk with them in assembly and individually about baseball. You know, it's so easy for me to talk to baseball fans because unlike an executive player, coach, or manager, I do not stand up there and say, I. Instead, I talk to folks about their game, our game, from an ump's eye view, and I tell them stories that they're not going to hear. I make myself the brunt of some stories and how players actually take it over on umpires once in a while and turn around as fair play, and we have a tremendous amount of fun. I've been working with Jay for about 20 years, a little bit more than 20 years, up and down the East Coast, not only during July, you know, the end of July at Hall of Fame, which is a wonderful trip. If your travelers, if your fans, if your listeners haven't gone to the Hall of Fame over Hall of Fame weekend, it is a marvelous time to go, and especially the next couple of years, Dan, when Chipper Jones and others is going in this year, Mariano Rivera next year, the biggest of all in a couple of years, Derek Jeter, and then all of New England will be, you know, at Cooperstown or in Cooperstown the year after Jeter when David Ortiz goes in. And I'll be there every year. I'm looking forward to it. You'll be there every year. I know you look forward to it every year, even when Braves guys don't go in. It's such a
but
good
But usually
good
they
time.
Do.
but usually they do, yes.
Yeah, six Braves in the last 5 years ain't too bad. So that's not so bad. But anyway, give a pitch to our listeners why Sports Travel and Tours, it's the best bet for induction weekend. It avoids all the hassles, doesn't it?
Danny, it's the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen. The only thing that a traveler has to do to have fun on a Sports Travel and Tours trip is to show up on time. The group of the tour hosts do everything for you. They make sure the bus is there. They provide entertainment on the bus. The hotels are taken care of. They tell you where to go in the cities to eat. They give you free time. It is the only bus tour company. They are the official travel agency of the Hall of Fame. They're the only tour group that's allowed into Cooperstown on the day, the whole weekend of the Hall of Fame. The buses drop you off right at the front of the Hall of Fame. They pick you up at Doubleday Field, and it is a marvelous existence to go on a trip. No hassles, no fuss, no muss with Sports Travel and Tours.
And I concur totally. It's a pleasure to be working for them and also to see you up there. And let's give a plug to your book, which is out in paperback for the first time this month. You have great stories, including umpiring historic events and even spending some time in federal prison. But I understand your carousing days are over and you're now the best designated driver in Williamsburg. What changed in your life?
Well, a couple of things, Dan. You're right. The book is out, as a matter of fact, just this week in paperback, Called Out But Safe, A Baseball Umpire's Journey. And a kudos to you for putting it together as well as you did, as I know and others perhaps do. You are the guy who put together and named all the chapter titles and did an unbelievable job. I am humbled. Yeah, for sure. I am humbled by how well the book has done, how well it's received, as is evidenced by the fact that the University of Nebraska Press, its publisher, has now decided that it should be in a paperback version. And I just saw from the University of Nebraska Press today a release that, you know, how people can order it and that kind of thing by going to their website. It'll be in all the Amazon stores or all the Barnes & Noble stores and Amazon website, of course. And I do. I have great stories in there. And when one has led a life as large as I have, the highs and the ups are going to be very, very high, and the lows are going to be very, very low. And I talk about them all. Unfortunately, after 26 years, I was given my release. I was fired by the Major League Baseball. And then I made a couple of bad decisions. I did some things, and I take full responsibility for them. I did something that someone asked me to do, and I knew it was wrong. And I spent 120 days in a federal lockup, in a federal prison camp. And I learned a lot, and I talk about it. And, you know, it's not one item that defines me as an individual, but it's just part of the stuff that happens on your journey. And I'm embarrassed by it, but I'm not going to hide from it. And I talk about it, and I talk about being on the other side. I talk to groups about being successful, defining success, having it taken away and getting and being on the other side of that and still being happy and productive and successful. And I'm very happy and proud to do that and to share that experience with whomever would like to hear about it.
And Al, you have a great voice, and I know you've done some broadcasting. Fill us in.
Oh, gosh, I enjoy broadcasting, and I get on the radio with the Norfolk Tides. I live down here in beautiful Colonial Williamsburg, Virginia. The Norfolk Tides, of course, are the AAA team club of the Baltimore Orioles, and the Richmond Flying Squirrels, they're a AA club in the Eastern League. And I'll go on the radio a couple of times a year with them, and their feedback, of course, we talk about umpires and umpiring, how umpires are what's affected in the game and how the umpires are affected by it. And the feedback that the stations get and the ball clubs get after I'm on, not necessarily because it's me, but certainly because of the content and talking about umpiring. And it just gives fans a different perspective of the game we all certainly love. And I enjoy doing it. And like I say, Dan, I enjoy talking baseball. I enjoy talking traveling. I enjoy sharing the stories that I've encountered at 30 years on the road, 4 years in the minor leagues, 26 years in the big leagues, and I loved every minute of it.
Okay, we're winding down, just a few minutes left, but since you have such a great baseball background, Al, do you have favorite and least favorite ballparks, and just as you have favorite and least favorite managers?
Dan, the truth of the matter is any place they play big league baseball and I'm involved is my favorite ballpark. Now, the old ballparks were just tremendous edifices. The Milwaukee County Stadiums, the Tiger Stadiums, the old Comiskey Parks. As a matter of fact, Dan, I'll share a story quickly with you. I did something near the end of my career that would be on a bucket list of any baseball fan. On consecutive days, a Wednesday, Thursday, and a Friday, because the commissioner's office took an off day away from my crew and we had to fill in with a ballpark, with a ball game. I worked in Wrigley Field on a Wednesday, Fenway Park on a Thursday, and Camden Yards on a Friday.
Wow, that's great.
That's pretty cool even for a crotchety old guy like me. It was great. I had my favorite ball players and favorite managers and least favorite guys too, but our job is just like anybody else's. You know, you walk out onto the field, which is our office, and just like anybody else, there are going to be people that like you, people that you like, people that you don't like, and people that don't like you. And the same thing holds true in baseball. But there is one thing that is a common denominator. The fact that we all have earned the right to be in the big leagues by working hard. There is an innate respect given to each and every one of us by each and every one of us, even if you don't like the guys. And okay. It wouldn't be right for me to tell you who I didn't like or didn't get along with or who the nasty guys were. But the main guy, well, his initials are Frank Robinson.
Yeah, you got to get the book, though, because we're out of time, Al. So I want to thank you for being our guest on Travel Itch Radio. And listeners, go out and get the book, Called Out But Safe, An Umpire's Journey. You will love the book. And that's it for this edition of Travel Itch Radio. Tune in again next week, same time, same station, when we'll check out the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, with Donna Shore of Visit Philly. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg and Al Clark saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time, good night.